This is DW News live from Berlin. The U.S. Supreme Court could get a further push to the right. Donald Trump announces federal judge Amy Coney Barrett to the country's top court. If the Republican-controlled Senate confirms her, it could ensure a conservative lock on court decisions for decades. And Africa confounds predictions and avoids the worst effects of the pandemic. The continent fares better than the industrialized world. We'll find out why. And in Bundesliga football, Augsburg locked horns with Dortmund on Saturday in a David versus Goliath matchup. I'm William Gluckroft. Welcome to the program. U.S. President Donald Trump has nominated conservative federal judge Amy Coney Barrett to succeed Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, an outspoken voice of the court's liberal side, who died earlier this month. If confirmed by the Republican-controlled Senate, Trump will have put three of the seven justices on the top court, possibly handing conservatives long-sought wins over contentious legal issues like abortion and gun rights. In a news conference, the president praised Barrett as a woman of remarkable intellect and character.
The stakes for our country are incredibly high. Rulings that the Supreme Court will issue in the coming years will decide the survival of our Second Amendment, our religious liberty, our public safety, and so much more. To maintain security, liberty, and prosperity, we must preserve our priceless heritage of a nation of laws. And there is no one better to do that than Amy Coney Barrett.
Let's get more now. Joining me here in the studio, Nicole Renvert from the German Council on Foreign Relations and our Washington Bureau Chief, Ines Pohl. Ines, let's start with you. We just heard from Trump at the news conference. Judge Barrett was also there. What was your impression of her?
Well, you know, both President Trump and Judge Barrett herself spoke very humble about late Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and Judge Barrett made it really clear that she sees herself kind of standing on her shoulders, that she sees her appointment not as a political appointment, but that she is committed to the Constitution, and that she, that's what she said at least, would put her personal stance behind. She also talked about her family. She has seven children. Two of them are adopted from Haiti. So, you know, listening to her, you really got the impression that she's a very smart, open-minded person. And in that regard, I think she was really able to reach out to people who were kind of skeptical about this nomination.
Nicole, turning to you, the Supreme Court in the United States, it plays a very unique role. People around the world are maybe looking at this rather curiously. Why is the Supreme Court and who sits on it so important in the United States?
Maybe start with the second part of your question first. The political appointees we see being the judges are very different from what you would see in Germany at the federal court in Karlsruhe. So there you already see the political debate takes place also in the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court is there to control the Senate and the Congress. And because of this political appointee setup, the discussion continues there. This is why the Supreme Court is so important. Also, the decisions the Supreme Court makes are far-reaching and far more groundbreaking, and they determine the societal path the United States would be going to. And this is very different from when you look at with other democracies.
Right. We always see Republican presidents will appoint conservative justices, Democratic presidents will appoint liberal justices. What impact could Barrett's confirmation have on this court?
Well, first of all, the court decision is very interesting because it comes at a time when the society, but also the political Washington, is extremely polarized. So, first of all, we might see a shift to the right in the decision-making process of the court, but at the same time also a push to the basis that, you know, the Republicans are looking out. The evangelicals are very interested in the Supreme Court. The decisions are important for them. So we might also see effects on the Senate and on the larger political situation, and not only, you know, at the Supreme Court. So it will be remarkable what will come out of this in the next few months.
Ines, any Supreme Court confirmation hearing is contentious. This one is coming on the heels of an even more contentious election. What's that going to mean for the campaign?
Right, we just learned that the hearings will start October 12th. So what does it mean? I mean, it is kind of a reminder how important it is who is in the White House. So this is kind of a call for action for the Republican voters, you know, because, I mean, not only is Donald Trump able with Barrett to pick his third judge, he might actually, if he wins another term, be able to judge another Supreme Court justice, and then that really would cement the kind of political direction the Supreme Court will go. And there is another, maybe a sidekick, you know, Kamala Harris, the Democratic vice presidential candidate. She is a member of the Judiciary Committee. That means that she has to be back in Washington, that she can't campaign.
Interesting. Well, we're going to be watching this closely, how it all unfolds. Ines Pohl in Washington, Nicole Renvert here with us in Berlin. Thank you both very much. And let's take a look at some other stories making news around the world. The Prime Minister designate of Lebanon has resigned. Mustafa Adib also apologized to the Lebanese people for his failure to form a new government. He was tasked with forming a new cabinet after the previous government resigned amidst protests over August's devastating blast in Beirut. In Belarus, security forces have arrested women protesting in the capital, Minsk. The opposition organized the demonstration ahead of an alternative inauguration next week for movement leader Svetlana Tikhanovskaya. Public anger against Alexander Lukashenko's years-long grip on power have been simmering since his re-election early last month. Tensions rose during a protest in Jerusalem against Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's response to the coronavirus pandemic. Critics say the current lockdown is destroying the economy. Protesters came from across Israel to join the weekly anti-government demonstrations. In London, scuffles broke out between police and coronavirus skeptics gathered at Trafalgar Square to protest pandemic restrictions. Hundreds of anti-mask activists appear to flout social distancing rules. Police say they gave several warnings before breaking up the rally. Now, when the coronavirus emerged, many predicted disaster for Africa. After all, it's been a major victim of AIDS, Ebola, malaria, and other public health tragedies. But despite sometimes substandard hospitals and sanitation and political instability in some parts of the continent, the worst-case scenario hasn't come to pass. To the contrary, African countries have largely coped better than many industrial countries.
Apply hand sanitizer, check for a fever, and of course, wear a mask. Shoppers in Kenya's capital, Nairobi, have to comply with the rules. Everyone has their guidelines. Everyone knows what to do. No one wants to get sick. The continent's leading virologist and many of his colleagues say that this discipline is one of the decisive reasons for Africa's low infection rates.
The continent as a whole started the measures. I cannot overemphasize the importance of the measures that were taken early. I think they actually helped to blunt this virus.
A few months ago, experts feared millions of people would be infected. They were certain the virus would spread easily in poor neighborhoods. But so far, the entire continent, with its 1.2 billion residents, has lost 34,000 people to COVID-19. That's fewer than in Britain. This is in part because many infections were mild.
Attribute this to the youthful nature of our population. And if you recall, 70% of our population is less than 30 years. Median age is around 17 years old.
So Africa has fared better than many of its rich northern neighbours, thanks to its discipline and youth.
And here's a look at other developments in the coronavirus pandemic around the world. Spain's health minister has urged authorities in Madrid to tighten coronavirus restrictions. The Spanish capital extended a partial lockdown on Friday, rejecting national government recommendations for a citywide lockdown as cases continue to surge. A new study suggests fewer than 10% of people in the United States have antibodies to the coronavirus. The results would mean the country is further from herd immunity than previously estimated. India Prime Minister Narendra Modi has told the United Nations that his country will help the world produce and deliver potential coronavirus vaccines. Modi vowed to use the nation's resources, quote, for all humanity, since India is the world's biggest vaccine maker. Here in Germany, there's been a pledge to switch to renewable energy. Wind turbines are a common sight, and the country has set a timetable to shut down coal-fired power plants. But for some, the change isn't happening quickly enough. And on Saturday, activists blockaded and occupied mines and power stations in Germany's main coal-producing region. But they also targeted plants using a cleaner form of energy, natural gas.
A breakfast in the rain while staging a sit-in. Around 150 demonstrators gathered in the morning to block the entrance to a gas power plant in Düsseldorf. The activists previously protested against the use of coal, but now gas is on their radar as well. We're demanding a fair system that guarantees a good life for everyone. Gas supports a fossil system that exploits both people and nature. And something else is new. Due to the pandemic, the activists started from 10 different camps all over the coal mining region in western Germany. The situation is somewhat confusing because this year we no longer have one central camp from which the activists start their protests. Instead, there are several small camps around the open cast mine. Police and demonstrators clashed around noon in villages near the mine. The protest organizers shared a video online that shows police using pepper spray to keep demonstrators away. Power plant employees showed little understanding for the protesters' actions. We're doing what everyone else is doing, trying to support our families and do our job. Even now, the Germany has decided to phase out the use of coal. But the protesters announced more blockades for tomorrow.
In Bundesliga on Saturday, Augsburg faced off against Dortmund. Both teams were flying high after posting decisive wins on the campaign's inaugural weekend. But Dortmund have been title contenders for years now and are considered a league powerhouse. Augsburg had a lot to prove.
Augsburg coach Heiko Herrlich was out to prove to visiting Dortmund. His team's opening day victory against Union Berlin was no fluke. And despite a few early scares for the home side, it was the Black and Yellows' defense that was under pressure. 40 minutes in, and this Daniel Caligiuri free kick met Felix Uduokhai to put the home side in front. After the break, Augsburg kept up the pressure, and soon they were two goals up. Caligiuri taking the honors this time. There was no coming back for Dortmund. Erling Haaland came close to scoring a consolation in the dying minutes of the game. 2-0 the final score. And Heiko Herrlich's Augsburg go top of the table for at least one day.
On Bundesliga's second match day, Leverkusen and RB Leipzig shared the spoils in a 1-1 draw on Saturday afternoon. Emil Forsberg opened the scoring for Leipzig in the 14th minute. The Swedish winger outmaneuvered Lars Bender and fired into the top of the net. Leverkusen answered 6 minutes later thanks to Kerem Demirbe. His long-range rocket flew just out of the reach of the Leipzig keeper and took a lucky bounce off the crossbar and into the net. You're watching DW News. Don't forget, you can get all the latest news and information anywhere you are from our website, dw.com, and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at DW News. For me,